Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back. Today is Monday, April 30th, 2007, and you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Keeping with the theme of many of today's questions, today's podcast is brought to you by Robert Black Academy, where kink goes corporate. My good friend and porn star extraordinaire Robert Black opens registration for his new academy tomorrow, May 1st, 2007. Robert is a former corporate training director. He combines his knowledge of adult learning principles and his instructional design skills together with his expertise in less corporate matters like bondage, power exchange, self-defense tactics, fitness for men over 40, and sensual massage. You'll find the Robert Black Academy on the net at www.robertblack.net. Check it out, smut puppies. Being bad has never been more fun. I have a fantastic show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show.
Hello, this is Richard, and I am 26 years old, and I'm a male. Alright, so my question is, I have been practicing periods of celibacy, and the way that I've been practicing celibacy has been focused around not ejaculating. So, I'll still have fornication with my girlfriend and things like that, but without ejaculation. So, my question is, I've noticed when I've ended periods of celibacy by ejaculating that my energy has just been extraordinarily low. My question is, are there supplements that I could take, food? I already eat really, really well. I'm wondering what I could take to counterbalance the sleepy chemicals that I find happening to me after I ejaculate. Because ultimately, I would like to have the same focus that I have day to day when I'm practicing celibacy while maintaining a sexually active life. So any thoughts on this, or any answers would be great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for your call. But before I get to your question, let's work on some of your vocabulary, shall we? The sexual practice you describe is not a type of celibacy. Celibacy has a very specific meaning. It is the state of being unmarried. You are indeed celibate because you say you have a girlfriend and not a wife. But for the sake of clarity, the only thing we ought to be able to say for sure when someone identifies him or herself as celibate is that he or she is not married. You're not being sexually abstinent either, which is a concept that is often confused with celibacy. In fact, you use a very unfortunate term when you talk about having sex with your girlfriend. Use the term fornicate. Like why? While technically you are correct, unmarried partners fucking is fornication, as opposed to adultery, which is married people fucking someone other than their partner. The term fornicate has a very pejorative connotation. It's a word religious people use to describe sinful behavior. Is fucking your girlfriend sinful, Richard? If it is, stop fucking her right away. If it isn't, then don't refer to the sexual relations you have with her as fornication. If you can't bring yourself to use the term fuck to talk about what the two of you do together, then there are plenty of other less negative euphemisms for coitus than fornication. Now on to the very interesting sexual practice you describe in your call. If it isn't a type of celibacy, what is it? I think you're talking about a tantric sex practice. You're having sex, masturbation as well as partnered sex, I assume, but you avoid ejaculating, right? You don't really go on to say why you do this, but from what you do say, I gather it means it's a means of preserving your energy or chi, right? And that's what leads me to think this is a form of tantra. Tantric sex is very interesting, if for no other reason it distinguishes between orgasm and ejaculation. Although they often happen at the same time, men are capable of having orgasms without ejaculating. Perhaps you already discovered this. Ejaculatory control, which is what I think you're doing, is what makes it possible for tantric lovers to capture and extend the energy of the orgasm. By refraining from or holding off on the ejaculation, men can become multi-orgasmic. Some men achieve this by a practice known as edging or controlling the wave of orgasmic energy without ejaculating. Further, you ask if there are any supplements that can help you regain your strength or chi after you ejaculate. Listen, rather than seeking a pharmaceutical solution, why not delve deeper into Tantra for the answers you seek? You're already more than halfway there. You might want to look into chi power training too, because if I'm not mistaken, that's what you're actually talking about. Feel free to call again and update me with your progress, Richard. Good luck! Next, we hear from Dina from NYC. She's 32 and she writes, "I love my cunt. In fact, you could say that I have a cunt fetish. I love to stuff my cunt with really big toys. My current BF introduced me to fist fucking and I love it. I guess what I want to know is, can this be dangerous?" I love it. A chick who refers to her pussy as a cunt. You go, girl. But what's this? You're just now getting around to asking if fisting is dangerous? Not before, but after you've had a fist in your cunt? Well, so much for being proactive. I'd be willing to guess that you probably already have some data on the advisability of this form of extreme sex play. You certainly have enough information to declare that you love it. Okay, for everyone else in my audience, both those with a cunt and those who are cuntless, who haven't heard of fisting, let's start from the beginning. I trust everyone knows that what fingering is, right? Whether it's fingering a pussy or an asshole, it's loads of fun to diddle somebody's insides. We already know that fingering a dude's hole will stimulate his prostate, which more and more non-gay men are discovering to be way fun. Okay, sex fans, take fingering and multiply that by 5. That's right, fisting is inserting a whole hand or fist into a cunt or asshole. For all you folks out there who haven't yet fainted away, yes, it is anatomically possible, and yes, it can be extremely pleasurable. I hasten to add that getting a whole fist inside of a pussy is somewhat easier than getting a whole hand inside of an asshole, but for folks like you, Dina, who are into massive penetration, nothing is a bigger turn-on. To your question, if this practice is harmful, well, not if you do it right. First off, the fisting top does not make a fist and ram it home. Fisting aficionados say that handballing is the most intimate and complete way to touch another human being. This kind of extreme penetration has to be worked up to slowly and gently. Trust and communication between partners is essential, as is tons of lube. Some folks swear by Crisco. Others think that the legendary J-Lube, a handy-dandy concentrate that is used by veterinarians stands apart from the rest because it is the most slippery and gooey of them all. If you use this stuff, you can follow the recipes available on several handballing sites. And here's another tip. Instead of schlepping out to your local veterinary supply warehouse, you can find J-Lube in the Dr. Dick stockroom. See the Dr. Dick stockroom toys and props link on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com? Just click on there. You'll find what you're looking for. How freaking convenient is that? The fisting top must, of course, respect his or her partner's limits and pain threshold. Safe fisting is happy fisting, and to that end, keep the following concerns in mind. First of all, cut and file all your nails until every finger is as smooth as it could possibly be. Your fingers will be in some very delicate places, places that may not have pain receptors. You'll want to ensure that you minimize all chance of causing injury. Make sure your partner is relaxed, comfortable, and, more importantly, turned on. When a woman is aroused, her pussy relaxes, expands, and lengthens. All very important for accommodating a fist, don't you know? Even the wettest cunt will need lots and lots of lube during fisting. There is no such thing as too much lube, so prepare for a big fat mess. Lube your hand, the back of your hand, between your fingers. Keep applying lube as you go. Push the lube into the pussy or asshole with your fingers. Remember, if you're using latex gloves, oil-based lubricants dissolve latex. Start with one or two fingers and work your way up to three and then four. Most people need time to further relax their muscles as more fingers are added, and some may require several stretching sessions over weeks or months before they can actually accommodate your whole hand. Tops, be sensitive to the feelings of your bottom. Not your bottom, but your bottom's bottom. Get it? You're trying to persuade a part of her body to open for you and to admit a part of your body deeply inside her. If you take the time, the energy exchange between you and she will move you both into an altered state. Communication and relaxation is key. Once you've reached a five-finger insertion, you're almost there. But it's at this precise point that the handballing top needs to be the most attentive. Your partner's pussy is being stretched to its near limit. Your partner is going to be riding a wave of both pain and pleasure. If you find her cunt has reached its limit for the time being, respect that and pull out slowly. If your partner wants more, then slip your knuckles inside. Be sure to fold your thumb inside your fingers so that your hand will naturally form an elongated fist. Think of this shape as a duck's bill. This makes your hand into a wedge shape that allows you to gradually stretch your partner open as you press on. Apply steady but slow pressure. Your partner should be telling you when to push and when to back off. Careless fisting can cause muscle and tissue injury. If the top goes too fast or too hard, there's going to be trouble. Obviously, there's going to be some discomfort during handballing. So, top, listen to the owner of the pussy you're fisting. She will let you know the difference between hurts so good and hurts real bad. The knuckles are the widest part of the hand and the most difficult part to get past the opening of the cunt. If there's going to be any resistance to the insertion of the fist, this is probably the point that it will happen. Wait until your partner is ready before making the big push. She may be able to help by bearing down as if she were giving birth or having a bowel movement. Once your knuckles slip past the ring of muscles around the vaginal entrance, the pressure will ease off. Now gently roll your hand into a fist. At this point, the owner of the pussy or asshole may want a gentle pumping movement with your hand. Fisting can produce extremely intense sensations, so ask her what feels good to her. When the session is done, make your hand into that duckbill wedge shape again and gently slide it out. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. Don't be shy, let it fly. Next, we hear from Jack, not my real name, he says in parentheses. He's a male, he's 40, and he's from Boston. He writes, I have a bunch of little bumps on my penis near the tip. Each one is kind of lumpy. They don't really bother me. I've had them for a while, but now there seems to be more of them. Should I be concerned? Yes, Jack, not your real name. There is reason to be concerned. Listen up, everyone. Whenever there's a change in the look, feel, or sensations in your genital area, there is cause to have a medical professional look at the disturbance immediately. If you are like Jack, not his real name, you could have an infection that could be transmitted to your sex partners. It's one thing to foolishly disregard your own health and well-being. It's another thing altogether to risk the health and well-being of an unsuspecting sex partner. Sounds to me, Jack, not your real name, that you have genital warts. They're relatively easy to detect, small bumps that typically have an irregular cauliflower-like surface. Sound familiar? I thought so. If you've been dipping your warty wick in some pussy or asshole, you've likely passed on the infection, thank you very much. And if it's been a pussy you've been messing with, the lucky lady or ladies may have warts inside their cunt. Genital warts are pretty benign, but they're mighty unsightly. Some people experience irritation and itching around the affected area. Women can get warts on the vulva and perineum, but they can also appear on the vagina, cervix, and asshole. Men get warts most often on their dick head and foreskin, but they may also appear on the shaft of your cock, scrotum, and asshole. A carrier of the virus doesn't even have to have a visible outbreak for the infection to be transmitted. Probably that's how you got infected yourself, Jack, not your real name. Genital warts can be a bitch to get rid of because, like all warts, these little devils have the tendency to reappear. Treatments may include liquid nitrogen to freeze off small warts on obvious areas and topical solutions to attack warts in that hard-to-reach area, like a urethra or a vagina. Do us all a big favor, Jack, not your real name. Consult your doctor as soon as possible. Good luck! Next, we hear from Lila. And she's a female, she's 48, and she lives in Trenton, New Jersey. She writes, my husband and I have been married for 15 years. He wants sex way more often than I do. It's not because I don't love him. It's because he's ballooned to over 85 pounds more than he weighed when we were married. And he was a big guy back then. About a month ago, I told him why my libido was low. He got all hurt, and I got the silent treatment for a week. I've been trying to convince him that it is in his best interest that he slim down. He'd feel better and live longer. I cook healthy food at home, try to get him interested in exercising, but nothing is working. The best I get from him is an occasional guilty feeling that makes him order a diet soda to go with his giant-sized fast food meal. I love the big lug, but he's grossing me out. Holy cow, your fat slob of a husband is about to lose the very best thing he's got going for him, Lila. Listen up, folks. A marriage license does not authorize you to go to seed. People marry each other because they're attracted to their partner both emotionally and physically. When a husband or wife lets him or herself go to the point of radically changing his or her physical appearance, that person can't complain when his or her spouse's libido drops off to nothing. Level with your obese husband, darling. He's got to know that he has a choice to make, you or the junk food. You have a right to demand that he not eat himself out of a sex life, or worse, eat himself to death. Here's the thing. Many people, myself included, believe that obesity is the moral equivalent of being a drunk. That's right, you heard me. Out-of-control eating is just as bad as out-of-control drinking. Health risks alone make alcoholism and obesity a national crisis. Would you stand helplessly by and watch your husband get hammered every day? Would anyone be surprised to learn that your libido slipped away because your husband drank himself into a stupor every day? I don't think so. So why do we tolerate self-destructive food consumption? It's as damaging to one's body and one's sex life as too much booze. Listen, Lila, you need to tell your spousal unit that his current size and shape is repulsive to you and that's why you're not putting out anymore. Take my advice and don't mince your words. And for all of you out there who think I'm being a heartless bastard, just imagine how cruel it would be if Lila did or said nothing, and her old man suddenly keeled over, leaving her not only without sex, but a widow to boot. Good luck! Next we have Kevin. He's a male, obviously, 22, from Toronto, and he writes, I'm just out of college and have a ton of bills and no real prospects at the moment. No real job prospects at the moment. A friend suggested that I do some escorting to make ends meet. Guys tell me that I'm hot and I like sex, but I don't know if I could pull it off. Suggestions? You betcha I have suggestions, and a lot of them, don't you know? Being hot and liking sex are great assets if you decide to turn pro, but you'll need a whole lot more than that. Being a sex worker is not like having sex for love or even having recreational sex. You will be exchanging sex for money, and that makes this a business proposition. You'd be wise to approach this with as much forethought as you would any other profession. It is, after all, the world's oldest profession. If you set up shop, so to speak, you'll need the fortitude to have sex with as much wider range of people than if you were looking for a date. And probably just as important, when there's an exchange of money, the John becomes your customer. And you know what they say about a customer, he's always right. The truth of the matter is that all pro sex is client-directed. It's not about you, even when it looks like it's all about you. So let's say that you're a really great fuck, and fun to be with, too. You'll need the emotional distance and psychological resilience to cope with the intimacy issues this line of work creates. This is precisely the point where most fledgling sex workers flounder. They either give too much or not enough. Some actually resent their clients for sustaining them. I know this sounds totally absurd, but it happens all the time. This lack of clarity will surely cause troubling boundary issues for both you and your John. Regardless, if you are a cheap street hustler turning tricks to support a drug habit, or an expensive rent boy who is attending the rich and famous, the pitfalls are the same. A lot of sex workers are self-destructive or have huge unresolved sex issues that they are trying to compensate for by making people pay them for what they usually give away for free. If you still think this is a line of work for you, Kevin, know that your mind and body are your greatest business assets. Take care of them. Nurture them. Keep them clean, fit, and toned. Hygiene, both physical and mental, is a must. Body awareness, not the narcissistic type, and safe sex practices are your frontline defense against STIs, sexually transmitted infections, don't you know? Stay clean and sober while on the job. More sex workers get busted for drugs than for hustling. Know how to handle a drugged-out client. You're probably going to be seeing a bunch of those. Know that they can take forever to get off, and sometimes they get paranoid and become dangerous. Be fiscally responsible. Plan for the lean times, and there will always be lean times. You'll probably be a hot property at first, you know, the whole new meat on the block phenomenon. But don't let this go to your head. There's going to be a cuter, younger, hotter competitor getting off the bus tomorrow. Try to cultivate a number of regular clients. Have a thought to how and where you will market yourself. And I fully encourage you not to do this full-time, at least not at the start. If you find it difficult to meet your financial obligations, you're going to be tempted to do more and more risky things just to make ends meet, and that's not a good thing. Sex work is often more about being psychologically present than a sexual performance. Your clients will often be more lonely and isolated than they are horny. Treat them with respect. Improve your mind. Make yourself interesting. Stay abreast of current affairs and the popular culture. Develop other skills like massage and body work. You should have at least one trusted friend who knows your whereabouts at all times, or at least has access to your appointment book. Protect yourself. Use a pager or a cell phone and never make a date with anyone who will not share his or her phone number with you. And always make a call back before you head out. Keep an appointment book, in code if you must. Have a travel bag prepared with all the basics you'll need. Condoms, lube, massage oil, handy wipes, extra shirt, underwear, toys, mace possibly, pepper spray, or some other protective implement. Never unpack your bag at a session, but have that bag ready to pick up and leave if there's trouble. And that, my friend, should get you started. Might I suggest that you connect with other sex workers in your area? There is strength in numbers. Other rent boys will provide you with essential information about troublesome clients and help you get the lay of the land, so to speak. Finally, there are a couple of really great resources for all sex workers online. Check out the Sex Workers Outreach Project at www.swop-usa.org or the magazine Hooked Online at www.hookonline.org. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy, let it fly. Finally, today we hear from Janet. She's a female, 32, from Sacramento, and she writes, "Recently, I accidentally discovered that my husband is downloading porn onto his computer from the internet. There's a lot of it, and it all features teenage girls. I feel sick at the discovery. Why in the world would he hide something like this? I don't get it, and I don't know what to do about it. Why would your husband hide his sexual fantasies from you? Maybe because he knows you too well. Maybe, just maybe, he realizes that if he did share this private part of his life with you, you'd pitch a fit, just like you're doing now. So your husband has a harmless fantasy life. Big deal. Get over it, darling. You want honesty in your marriage, Janet? Then stop being such a prig. Fact is, most straight men groove on young female flesh. There's no surprise in that. The male brain is hotwired to find youth attractive and alluring. It has something to do with the original purpose of sex, which is procreation. Youthfulness equals fertility. It's as simple and as genetically programmed as that. And you would berate your husband for that? You sound like a real charmer. Even those most mature straight males want to gawk at teenage titties. They are rarely stupid enough to think that they can compete with the hot, hunky younger men for the affections of these nubile young women. They are more likely to stick with their adult female partners that they married. The guys who are too dense to figure this out are likely to be absolutely miserable in the pursuit of what constantly will elude them. So give your old man a break, and let him enjoy a little virtual fun. Oh, and Janet, and all you other people out there who are snooping around in other people's private affairs, stop it! Do you honestly think that I fell for the, oh, I accidentally discovered downloaded porn on my husband's computer bullshit? Shame on you for prying into his private life without his permission. You have no right to do that. Even in a marriage, an individual has the right to privacy, and you've violated that trust. If anyone ought to be upset at the discovery, it ought to be him. I'd apologize if I were you, and maybe if you did, he'd share a little bit more of his fantasy life with you. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Robert Black Academy. The first workshop being offered by Robert is Bondage and Power Exchange. It's limited to 12 participants, and it's being presented in mainstream hotels in San Diego, Fort Lauderdale, and Chicago. Many other cities will follow, no doubt. Participants will walk away from the workshop feeling confident in their ability to navigate through a bondage or BDSM scene. There will be plenty of hands-on practice, applying new communication skills while using a variety of bondage gear. The workshop will provide a safe and sane environment for men who are curious about and want to experiment with bondage and power play. Doesn't that sound like fun? Visit Robert Black Academy at www.robertblack.net. Before I go, I want to call your attention to the Lickety Split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. Remember, folks, no one's going to answer your phone call personally because it's voicemail. That's right. Dr. Dick is offering you a toll-free podcast voicemail phone number for you to call in your questions. You do want to be in one of my podcasts, don't you? Call in now. The number 866-422-5680. Again, the toll-free voicemail number is 866-422-5680. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Hey, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex even better. Over and out.